I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh?
Hey guys, and welcome to JJ's Football Fix, your home of everything EPL. Today is episode 7, and on his knees for this episode is Jake White, return of the stallion after missing episode 6. Hey Jake, nice.
Hey Jordan. Hey.
There was rumours floating around that you were going to be sitting on my lap for this episode, but you've actually decided to sit on your knees.
No, so, not this time.
Next time,
maybe
we'll test the waters in a few different positions and we'll see which one we like the most. Been an interesting week in the Premier League. We've got a little bit to talk about tonight. We've got last week's fixtures, of course, to run our eye over. We've got a bit of Champions League, Europa League stuff. You know, the salad dressing joke I made last time is probably not going to make it again. Not that really relates to European football, I'm not sure. Why that came into context there. And we're also going to obviously talk about this week's fixtures. But it's good to welcome you back, Jake, after a bit of an absence in the last one. I don't think you want to talk about why you missed. I can't remember why you missed.
I just wasn't home. I was getting ready to go to the pub.
I knew that. I didn't forget. I made sure that everyone in the last podcast knew that I was riding Han Solo for an episode. So, without further ado, Jake. Without further ado, it's a Star Wars joke. I don't think you've seen Star Wars, have you?
I haven't. No. People are gonna fucking roast you for that, aren't they?
All 17 of our viewers. But starting off with our first game of last week's fixtures. And we've got Manchester United versus Leicester City. The game being played at Old Trafford. And, you know, they had to rebound after a pretty dismal week, United. They had two losses in the Premier League and a Europa League loss to, I think, a team from the Netherlands, I think, or something like that. So, pretty dismal week for the boys in red. But they bounced back against Leicester City. They got off the mark with a Chris Smalling header before Juan Mata scored a pretty nice goal on the 37-minute mark. Marcus Rashford then scored a tap-in on 40 minutes before Pogba scored his first goal for United. One goal every 100 million spent on him. Before Leicester City scored a worldie in the 60th minute, Damari Gray finding the top corner of the net from roughly 20 yards out. I watched the game. I think United were pretty fucking good. Leicester looked pretty average. They made a pretty tactical swap at halftime with Vardy and Mahrez both being subbed out. Jake, what was your take on the game?
I didn't watch it because I was in the city. But from what I saw on the extended highlights, United dominated.
You were in the city, weren't you?
I was. But yeah, no. Or looking at the stats, they had 67% possession. So they must have done all right, scoring four goals, two Leicester's one as well. Good to see Pogba. I don't even know if it's a good thing, but Pogba doing all right. Apparently he got man of the match as well.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, apparently he got man of the match. I don't think he should have got man of the match going on statistics, but apparently they announced that Pogba got man of the match over the loudspeakers at the ground.
Maybe.
I think that may be a little bit of a mental boost sort of thing, that United have voted him man of the match just to like give him a bit more confidence to push on for the rest of the season, because I don't think he was man of the match at all. But Leicester had 6 blocks, 2-1. There's my stat for the day.
The stat I do want to run over, as I do in most episodes, just the corner count. United scored from 3 corners of their 8. Now, Leicester City had 6 corners. Should they have scored 2 more?
Couldn't tell you. It depends on how they're taking the corners. If you're going statistically wise on how United went from their corners, then I think that's a shit effort from Leicester.
Personally speaking, I think Robert Huth should be on the corner kick duty. I'm sure he can bang a few in. But yes, as we said, Manchester
United. Are you talking four. About like corner kickers and him taking the kicks? Or?
Yes. moving on to the next game. We have Swansea City versus Manchester City. The two cities versing each other as they strive to be the best city in England. And it is pretty easy to figure out which city was best. Swansea is in Wales, but they strive to be the best city in England as Aguero opens the scoring in the 9th minute, courtesy of a Bakary Sagna ball, which he controlled in the box. A pretty decent touch, actually, and smacked it past Fabianski in the goal for Swansea. Swansea actually got on level peggings here, if my app would not freeze, when Fernando Llorente scored his first goal, I think, for Swansea. He did. He smacked it.
Did he?
He did smack it with his foot before... app's frozen again. Before Aguero converted a penalty in the 66th minute. Aguero obviously returning from suspension. Before Raheem Sterling scored a pretty nice goal, a couple of step overs in play in the 77th minute to wrap up the 3-1 victory for Manchester City in a game which they never really looked like losing. They had a fair dominance in most statistical categories, including the corner count. Did you watch this game, Jake? I don't know, maybe.
Everton were on at the time of this game, but I did watch, as I do with all games, the extended highlights. City, I would think, deserved the win. They're a phenomenal football team at the moment. But Aguero just doing what Aguero does best and scoring a few goals. But Raheem Sterling looks like he's starting to live up to the expectations of that price tag from last season. He has...
Well, I think he's an early shout for Ballon d'Or, isn't he?
Probably won't go that far, but...
you're just a hater.
He's had a phenomenal start to this season so far. Okay, Bobby, if he keeps it going, then he could potentially be in the running for player of the season. But who knows, Jordan?
Well, who would be ahead of him at this stage? I mean,
Kevin De Bruyne?
Well, I was about to say him or De Bruyne, but, you know, you just cut me off, why don't you?
or maybe Aguero. I can't look past any City player right now. Aguero's been amazing as well when he's not been suspended.
Well, it's funny that Aguero's actually winning the Golden Boot at the moment, I'm pretty sure. So
yeah, look, that doesn't surprise me
at
all.
He's actually...
He's scored 5 in 4.
He has scored 5 in 4, you are right. And he's also scored 3 in the Champions League this season already. So he's only played 1 game, I'm pretty sure. so he's actually, I think he scored 8 in 5 this season.
He's not bad.
That's ridiculous.
He's not a bad footballer.
He's probably an early shout for the Ballon d'Or, more so than Sterling. But as we said, the best city in England is Manchester City, and they are 6-0 from 6 to start the season. Could be a draw, you never know. Sunderland versus Crystal Palace. This game, one of the big, most anticipated games of the round, as Stephen Pienaar got injured 15 minutes in. So he's done his hammy. No surprise there for anyone that knows anything about football. Jermaine Defoe actually gave him the lead in the 39th minute. I'm pretty sure Ledley like passed it straight to him and he scored, but I don't know. Before yeah, he scored a second in the 60th minute. Good for my fantasy. I didn't even check that, but he's in my fantasy team. Oh no, he's not. Shit. took me off Ian Archer. it was good last week. Yeah, but he didn't play this week. but he actually scored his second. It was denied by a smart save from Mandanda, but it just fell to, I think, Watmore or something like that, and he ended up putting it in. Joe Ledley actually counterpunched his error early on as he gave Palace a bit of hope in the 62nd minute before James McArthur levelled proceedings in the 76th minute. Thanks to a goal, obviously. For Christian Benteke, opened his account for Palace, maybe.
He's already scored for them.
to complete the comeback against an absolutely fuming Sunderland side in the 94th minute. Statistically speaking, Palace probably deserved the victory on every aspect of the game except fouls. Palace win their third in six, and it's just a glory, glory Crystal Palace season so far, isn't it?
No, oh, wouldn't go that far. They started okay, but they weren't convincing at all in this game. I did actually watch the replay of this game, Jordan, so I didn't watch the extended highlights. I watched the replay of this game.
I would like a question. Can I put my hand up to ask a question, Jake? Yep. Stephen Pienaar, bad injury?
Oh, I think it's the typical Pienaar injury. It doesn't look bad, but then he'll miss like 6 months. Yeah. And now, because I've said that, he'll probably start next week.
Ahead of Defoe, most likely.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, no, it looks like it was a decent game actually to watch. It was end to end. I think Palace should have won by a lot more than what they did, and should have won it earlier than the 90th minute. But tell you what, they're looking all right, but I don't want to get too ahead of myself for them. But Townsend is an absolute baller.
He is, isn't he? As we move on to Stoke City versus West Brom.
At the Bet365 Stadium.
Bet365 Stadium. The odds were forever in their favour as Stoke City managed to get a draw, albeit unfortunate, after Joe Allen gave him the lead in the 73rd minute, he did. I'm not sure what happened. Before Jose Solomon Rondon gave the West Bromwich Albion fans something to cheer about in the 91st minute as he was superb glancing header. to give him the 1-1 draw. Statistically speaking, this game was fucking shit.
It didn't even watch.
It does not surprise me because these two are quite average teams. It's good to see players such as Wilfred Bony playing for Stoke City.
Thoughts, John? It's not at all. It's not good.
You probably didn't watch this, did you?
I didn't even actually watch the highlights of this game either. So I've just lied to you previously saying I watched all the highlights of every game because I didn't watch the highlights of this one.
Well, I don't think you need to really go into detail in this game then, Jake, because we here at the JJ's Football Fix only have expert analysis and opinions.
Well, I'm looking at the team that Stoke started with, and they're starting with Arnautovic, Boney and Shaqiri up front, and statistically-wise, they all did absolutely fuck. They did absolutely... they did absolutely fuck all three of them. So if Stoke want to push on and get into the top half at least, they need their top players doing good things other than Joe fucking Allen.
Yes, you're not wrong there. You're not wrong there.
Wasn't then Bruno Martins Indy signed for Stoke?
Pretty sure it was deadline day, but
good don't remember that at all. Don't remember that.
Moving on. Middlesbrough versus Tottenham Hotspur. Heung Min Son is a player in form, and he has scored twice here early on for Tottenham in the 7th and the 23rd minute, I believe.
What's his name?
Heung Min Son. his 23rd minute goal was some strike.
Yeah, it was a fucking cracker.
his first one was okay.
He scored a good goal this morning as well.
But we'll get into that soon. Ben Gibson giving Middlesbrough a bit of hope from the corner, but it wasn't to be as they lost 2-1 to Tottenham Hotspurs. A lot of our statistical categories leading to a Tottenham win, shots, possession and corner count included. Yep. I think it was pretty stock standard that Tottenham are going to win and they continue undefeated in the season. Pretty good from them. I rate them.
Yeah, they're looking good. Apparently, this is the best start they've had to a Premier League season. 4 wins and 2 draws. Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? it's not bad. Yeah, they've got a good squad. I don't know if Harry Kane was playing or not. I don't think he was.
Harry Kane was not playing. He picked up the injury in the midweek game.
But they're still scoring goals without him, obviously. Or else they would not have won this game.
Thanks to Heung-Min Son.
they've done well. They've started very well, and they will keep on going, I think. They look pretty good. Or maybe they won't, because they've got City next week.
Will be a cracker, won't it, as we move on to Livershit versus Hull Shitty.
Oh, fuck me, they won 5-1.
Yeah.
Oh.
Lallana opening the scoring. Lallana. I'd rather add the ship on the harbour is safe, but it's not what ships are built for. Lallana, I don't know, shut up. 17th minute, Lallana goal. Before Mohamed El Mahamadi in the 29th minute got a red card. Milner converted the penalty from that. Sadio Mane scoring again in the 36th minute to go 3-0 at half time. David Myler actually got Hull a goal in the 51st minute. to go 3-1 down before Felipe Coutinho scored in the 52nd minute before Milner converted another penalty in the 71st minute to give him a 5-1 win. They had 25 shots, they had 74% possession. They look pretty fucking good, but apart from that...
I told you last time I was here, they're going to make Champions League.
The good news out of this game, though, we've got to be said that Hull City are now 14th, so...
You can't say I didn't warn you.
Well, I mean, we both said it, didn't we?
We did.
Hull, they're actually...
Gonna, honestly, Liverpool, I would be very surprised if Liverpool don't finish in the top four.
Hmm. Well, they've got
on my app, it says they have 32 shots to 2. With 74% possession.
No, I don't think mine includes blocked. I don't know, Jake. I just don't know. I think Liverpool are a very good team.
763 passes to 263 passes. They had 500 more passes.
On the dot.
Like, literally.
moving on to the best results of the round, and that is AFC Bournemouth 1, Everton 0.
Oh, shit.
The less said about this game, the better. I'll be honest here, I didn't watch the game. I fell asleep. I actually woke up in the 85th minute. It wasn't the best to wake up to. I did see Ener Valencia miss a pretty good opportunity. So that really did his chances of being a good player, in my opinion, out the window. I'll just continue to give him a chance. We started a pretty good team, apart from the left back. I would have actually preferred if we played a back three, but it wasn't to be. And brought in Mason Holgate, maybe, at centre-back, or Funes Mori. Maybe not. Maybe Mason Holgate. But, yeah, I'm sure you can tell me more about this game than I can.
I don't think you really want me to, but...
Let's just go with the main thing. Let's not drag it out. The less said about this game, the better.
Well, Stanislas scored another fucking belter against us. That's twice we've played them away in the Premier League, and that's twice that he's... scored an absolute fucking screamer against us. I don't really want to go into too much detail, but we were fucking shit out. That's our worst performance this year. But hopefully it doesn't continue this weekend. But I'm not going to sit here and bullshit. Bournemouth deserve the 3 points.
Yeah, Bournemouth actually not a bad team, to be honest. I've kind of half rated them throughout the season, but apart from...
Well, Wilshere's been massive for them, because... Wilshere absolutely dominated things when he was on the ground, and Jordan Ibe sent Coleman back to fucking Ireland about 30 times throughout the game. So, yeah, Jordan Ibe, like, as much as I dislike him being a former Liverpool player, he absolutely fucking terrorised our defence. But yeah, like I said, they deserve 3 points, and let's please move on.
Arsenal versus Chelsea. Arsenal 3, Chelsea 0. Alexis Sanchez opened the scoring in the 11th minute before Walcott scored a second in the 14th minute. Mesut Ozil capped off a fine first half for Arsenal, giving him a 40th minute 3-0 lead. That would remain until full time, which ended up 3-0. Stats-wise, I don't really know, to be honest. I can't get to that page on my app for some reason. Chelsea had more of the ball, similar amount of shots. Arsenal fucked him in corners.
Did they?
9-1.
We fucked them in the corners. They just got them in the corner and fucked them.
Basically. Arsenal kind of surprised me. I thought, like, they had an alright start to the season, yeah, but Chelsea, I thought, might have turned a corner. And I mean, this game, they didn't really turn the corner, did they, Jake?
No, they didn't. I watched this one because it was the 2:30 game. Arsenal started fucking phenomenally. And they just... Oh, the second half was boring as fuck. Because second half, Arsenal knew they were 3-0 up and they just sat on that lead, really. But they took advantage of a few Chelsea mistakes early to get an early 2-0 lead. And then Ozil popped up for a goal. And, yeah, it wasn't a great game. There wasn't an Arsenal versus Chelsea game of the past. It was very fucking boring. Although there was 3 goals, it was pretty boring. But Arsenal are doing very well, and they've never really looked like conceding. Mustafi is building a nice little partnership with Koscielny. And that's very good for my fantasy team because I've got checking goals. But yeah, they're looking good. They've got a few decent games coming up as well, so that's a big chance for Arsenal to push on.
Mm. Expert analysis at its finest here by L. Jake.
Thanks, mate.
Moving on to the second last game of the game week. West Ham 0, Southampton 3. This is funny to me. This is very funny. Charlie Austin, the 40th minute. Continues. He's scoring a fair few at the moment, Charlie. Banged home.
Big Charles?
He did not bang home at all, but he scored before Dusan Tadic scored in the 62nd minute, and then James Ward-Prowse finished off the scoring in fine fashion in the 92nd minute. It was a nice finish after some good build-up play from Southampton's midfielder in Davis. Southampton looked good for money. West Ham are totally shit this season. I'm not even going to beat around the bush here. I know West Ham fans have some hatred towards us being Everton supporters, and I don't know why, but they do. But no one can beat around the bush. I'm sure they'll be the first to say West Ham are absolutely shit this season. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what injuries are stopping them from, you know, progressing. Andy Carroll, maybe. The POD, the point of difference. But
the pod.
The pod. Dimitri Payet returning. He hasn't really done too much. He's got 3 assists in 3 games, and all of those games they haven't won. So obviously not doing enough.
Mr. Sitter as well.
So, yeah, I don't really know what else to say about West Ham. They're pretty average this season. And it doesn't look like they're going to be turning around anytime soon.
Well, I think they deserve it. I think they sold their soul moving from Upton Park to the Olympic Stadium. It's a fucking shit stadium where reportedly you can barely see the fucking pitch from the stands. And they're playing crowd chants over the speakers throughout the game to try and create atmosphere, trying to drain out their own actual fans, trying to chant and create their own atmosphere. They're an absolute shambles at the moment, and if they don't pick it up, then I don't want to say they're going to get relegated, because I don't think they will get relegated, but if they don't pick it up and they keep being this bad, they could find themselves in that relegation scrap, which is a huge fall from grace after the season they had last year. But they've gone from a very close European spot last year to getting knocked out of the Europa League qualifying to now sitting in the relegation zone. They're fucking shit. And I think they deserve it.
Yeah, I didn't know that they played chants over their speakers.
Yeah, they were playing a few chants over the speakers, and the fans are unhappy about it. And I sort of feel bad for the West Ham fans, because there's so many West Ham fans out there that didn't want the move to the Olympic Stadium. And as great as it does look on TV, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of West Ham fans out there that aren't happy with the fact that they've moved. And now there's videos all over social media of there being a movie set inside Upton Park that they're like bombing up the seats and all that shit. Mm. And I reckon it's hilarious to watch. But if I was a West Ham fan, I'd be fucking fuming.
Mm. I saw that video of them bombing Upton Park. Pretty sad, but imagine that happening to Goodison. Wouldn't be very good, but...
Wouldn't be too happy.
No, but moving on to the last game of the round. Then we have Burnley 2, Wofford 0. Jeff Hendrick got himself off the mark for Burnley in the 38th minute, scoring a header. Some pretty poor defending from Wofford before Michael Keane finished off the scoring in the 50th minute.
He was pretty keen
to score the winner, was Michael. and he also scored a header to give Burnley a much-needed 2-0 victory. They move up to 13th on the table and give themselves a bit of breathing space from that bottom three. Statistically speaking, it seemed like a little bit of a dull game. Wasn't too much going on. Can't say I watched this game. I think it was at 5 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, so I wasn't really keen at all.
Yeah, I didn't at all.
I haven't seen the highlights, to be honest. So.
Kapuei didn't score.
No, he didn't. So that's a bit shattering. But Stephen Defoe, man, having a very good season for Burnley, did assist twice. So
good sign.
Very good sign. I could see him moving on to a bigger and better team next season, to be honest. Everton, maybe? I mean, we were linked with him a few years ago.
Nah, I wouldn't take him.
Harsh reality of playing for Burnley. Anyway, not that they've got anything to do
with
it.
Couldn't say much on this game. Burnley, I'm happy for Burnley to get 3 points. I don't want them to get relegated, although I think they will. Watford have started the season pretty well, and I thought they were going to get the shock easier, but they didn't. And, yeah. Mm. Can't say much on the game because I haven't even watched the highlights on that either.
No, neither have I. but yeah, that wraps up the round. I'll go through the statistics, the major statistics from the Premier League over the course of the season so far. We go to the top goal scorers, and Diego Costa leads all comers alongside Mikel Antonio on 5 goals. Still doing very well. Aguero also sits on 5 goals, albeit 3 of those being penalties. Alexis Sanchez, Etienne Kapuei, our mate. Heung-Min Son, also our mate. Jermaine Defoe, not my mate anymore. Raheem Sterling, both of our mates. Lukaku, our mate, and Ibrahimovic, the boss, all on 4 goals, all equal second, or equal fourth, technically, in the Golden Boot race. Plenty of players on 3 and 2 goals, respectively. In the top assists, Kevin De Bruyne has taken an early lead out in 4 goals, 4 assists, sorry, for Manchester City this season. On 3 is Adam Lallana. Alex Iwobi enjoying a very positive season after getting more game time for Arsenal. Dimitri Payet after his comeback from injury. Iheanacho not getting a game for City but still providing the goods. And Stephen Defoe after his double assist game on the weekend moves into second place on 3 assists. To the table, and there's 2 undefeated teams now in the Premier League, both sitting 1 and 2 on the table. Manchester City, obviously, on 6 wins from 6 as they continue to look like the Invincibles. In fairness, though, Manchester City could be the only other team I could see doing that sort of season and going undefeated, but we'll see what happens, Jake. Tottenham Hotspur in 2nd with 4 wins and 14 points. Arsenal, Liverpool and Everton all on 13 points to round out the top 5. Manchester United on 12 points in 6th. Palace enjoying a very good start to the season alongside Chelsea on 10 points. Southampton and West Brom round out the top 10. Plenty of teams on 7 points. Watford, Leicester, Burnley, Hull and Bournemouth all sitting there from 11th to 15th. Middlesbrough on 5 points. Swansea in 17th on 4 points. West Ham find themselves in relegation zone on 3. Stoke with just the 2 draws in 19th. And Sunderland currently bottom of the Premier League table after 6 games on the sole point, which they did get against Southampton away. So...
Yep, cheers.
It is all the stats. we will go into a little bit of Europa League or the side of Champions League, but we will start off with the Champions League fixtures from this morning, involving the English teams only. Tottenham Hotspur got a 1-0 away win in Russia against CSKA in Moscow. Our mate Heung-Min Son scoring again. I haven't seen the goal.
It was decent.
Decent goal, apparently. They look like they deserve their win, had plenty more shots and possession, and they are now one win and one loss from their first two games, obviously losing to Monaco, I think. I'm not too sure about that.
Yep.
The other English team in action tonight, or this morning, sorry, was Leicester City. Actually got a very good win against FC Porto. Islam Slimani. Pepperoni. Salami.
Oh my god, I just Leicester keep laughing at
against jokes. FC Porto. And statistically, probably didn't deserve it. At home, though, Leicester now take a 2-point advantage at the top of Group G. Little stat here, Slimani actually used to verse FC Porto before he joined Leicester, as he used to play in the Portuguese league. Yep. I think he played for Sporting Portugal.
Yeah. And that was like the fifth game in a row that he scored against Porto. Because he used to play in the Portuguese league.
Spans and a half, isn't it? Other notable results, won't really cover them. Dortmund-Madrid was 2-2.
Good game.
Juventus destroyed Dynamo Zagreb.
Good game.
4-0. And Monaco-Leverkusen 1-1. Probably another notable game. Tomorrow we do have more English teams in action. Two to be exact. Manchester City travel to Scotland to verse Celtic. Most likely will fucking destroy them. as well as Arsenal. Host Basel. Another that they'll probably win as well, to be honest. In Europa League action, though, we will just cover them very quickly. English teams? What English teams? Southampton, I think, is the only English team in that, alongside Man United. Southampton are travelling to Israel to verse Hapoel Be'er Sheva, who actually beat Inter Milan 2-0 on the opening game day. So they've got a bit of a
trick.
Yeah, might be a tough game for Southampton, who are struggling in the Premier League, but did win their opening Europa League game against Sparta Prague 3-0. Man United host Zorya. Not sure how to pronounce that. Currently second in Ukraine. Or Zorya.
Yeah. What about their second name?
It doesn't say on my app what their second name is.
That's all right, then. You would struggle.
Okay.
It's the third Ukrainian side Manchester United would have met in Europe. The other two are Dynamo Kiev and Shakhtar Donetsk.
The only two are the Ukrainian teams that anyone even knows anything slightly about.
But Man United are unbeaten their last 11 European games at Old Trafford.
And I will definitely be putting money on them, paying $1.17, thanks to Bet365. That wraps up European look in.
It's time for Jordan's joke.
It's time for Jordan's joke. I haven't got one.
Sponsored by Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yes, yes, yes it is. What
give us one.
as I Google football jokes. I got one that has been, I don't know, it's always been in my head. It's one of those little shit football jokes. We'll tell you it. I think. What lights up a football stadium, Jake?
What lights up a football stadium? The lights.
It does, but that's not... The joke is a football match.
You're fucked.
But a bit of banter joke. A bit of a banter joke here. What's the difference between England and an albatross?
What's the difference, Jordan?
An albatross has two decent wings.
You can literally use that joke with any team in the world. Is that all?
Which football team uses the most toilet paper?
What football team?
Arsenal.
Oh Oh no. I think that's enough, to be honest.
How did the football pitch get wet?
How did the football pitch get wet, John?
Dribbled all over it.
You should have stopped at the light, Joe. That's enough.
Nah, I'll tell you one for our Indian fans.
for
our Indian fans. Why don't Indians play football?
Why don't you tell me?
Because every time they get a corner, they open up a shop.
Oh, no.
Okie dokie. Let's move on to this week in the Premier League.
Let's go. Oh, no. We're losing fans by the minute.
We kick it off on Friday this week. Interesting fixture. Everton host the in-form Crystal Palace. Two in-form teams, if you discount Everton's last fixture against Bournemouth. Palace struggled away against Sunderland, but did get the chocolates. I do think Everton's going to bounce back and win. I think Bolasie's going to score a double hat-trick. Wouldn't that be nice? Everton sitting fifth in the Premier League, Crystal Palace sitting seventh. The last fixture between these two teams was a stalemate 0-0 draw in April of this year. The last time this fixture was played was in December last year when Everton drew 1-1 with Crystal Palace. Lukaku on the score sheet and Scott Dan also on the score sheet. Jake?
I'm hoping we can get the 3 points. I think we will. I don't think Palace are as good as what people think they are just after they've signed Benteke. They're a good team, but they're not as good as what people think they are. I would go a 2-1 win. I think we should dominate the game, but we won't dominate on the score sheet.
Yeah, I think we will also win 2-1. But I hope it's like 4-0, maybe 5-0 would be nice.
Wouldn't be bad.
Moving on to Swansea versus Liverpool at the Liberty Stadium. Swansea hosting this fixture, struggling this season in 17th position. Just the one win as they versus an in-form Liverpool side who has 4 wins from 6, sitting fourth on the table. The last time these two teams played was in May of this year. Swansea actually won 3-1. Andre Ayew scored twice. Jack Cork scored another. Benteke scoring for Liverpool. So, I don't know. If history is anything to go by, hopefully Swansea do get the 2016 double over Liverpool, but I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either. Like I said before, I think Liverpool are a good chance of Champions League, and I think that they will keep cementing that thought into my head. I don't know if that's the right words to use there, but I've used them. And I think they'll win 3-0.
Moving on to West Ham versus Middlesbrough at the Olympic Stadium. Let's see if West Ham can bounce back from the dismal start to the season. They obviously sit in relegation zone in 18th. Middlesbrough not much better in 16th after we had huge raps on them earlier in the season. Two fixtures between these two sides, and it was back when they were both in the championship, back in 2012. The last time Middlesbrough played away to West Ham was a 1-1 draw in March of 2012. Joseph Bennett, an own goal, gave West Ham the lead in the 67th minute before Bartholomew Ogbechi gave Middlesbrough a point. Can't say anyone really stands out that played in that game for West Ham. Maybe Kevin Nolan was playing. Mark Noble was playing.
Kevin
Robert
Nolan.
Green was in goal for West Ham. For Middlesbrough, Marvin Emnis, who's now at Swansea, or was at Swansea recently, was in goal. I mean, not in goal, was on the wing for Middlesbrough, but can't really see any other notable names. Ravel Morrison was on the bench for West Ham that day. I think this will be a draw, Jake.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jordan. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. Antonio will probably score another header, assisted by Pyatt. But I just can't see much of West Ham at the moment. I think West Ham should win, but I don't think they will, just because on current form they are fucking horrendous.
Agreed. Moving on to Watford versus Bournemouth. I think this will be a very good game, actually. Watford currently sitting in 11th position, Bournemouth in 15th. The last time these two teams played was a 0-0 draw back in February of this year. Was also at Vicarage Road, for those interested. On Vicarage Road in England. I think Watford's going to win this game.
No, I completely disagree with you. I think Bournemouth are going to win it.
Well, it's always good to disagree with each other, Jake. I think it's healthy for any relationship.
I think they'll get up 1-0, just on the basis that they played very well against us last week and Watford just lost to Burnley.
I'm actually thinking Watford's going to beat Bournemouth 2-0.
Is Kapuwe going to score? Because I've put him in my fantasy team.
I don't think so, as my driver has already left the store. The dominoes. So let's crack on. Sunderland versus West Brom. He is currently 2 minutes away, Jake. I might have to give you a few fixtures soon. He's very close. As Sunderland look to get their season going. They've been struggling for the most part this season. West Brom have had a not bad start to the season, in my opinion. Yeah, I think West Brom's going to win. Oh, and Sunderland and West Brom played a 0-0 draw last time these two played.
I think it'll be a 0-0 draw again. I reckon they're two shit-ass teams. And, yeah, I can't start. Defoe might score. Chadley might score. It's going to be 1-1 then. But they're hoping it's a draw.
Yes. Moving on to Hull City versus Chelsea. Chelsea are going to win, I think.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a draw. I'd rate Chelsea. I still think Chelsea are top 14, but I think, just for some fucking reason, I think Hull will get a draw.
Well, the last time these two played at this venue, Chelsea did win 3-2 back in 2015. Any notable players in that game? Hazard scored, Costa scored, Remy scored for Chelsea, El Mahamadi and Abel Hernandez scored for Hull City. Yeah, Hull City need to bounce back, but I don't think they will. But you think it's going to be a draw, and I respect you for it. Manchester United versus Stoke City at Old Trafford. Manchester United picking up their form this week. They sit in sixth position, Stoke City in 19th. Last time these two teams played in February this year was a 3-0 result to Manchester United. Lingard, Martial and Rooney all getting on the score sheet. I think United will fucking rape them.
Interesting thing to do on a football pitch, but I completely agree with you. I think they're going to win 4-0. Pogba will probably do fuck all. I hope Zlatan scores 3.
Yeah, that would be nice for fantasy. moving on to Leicester versus Southampton. Leicester City enjoying a nice European win during the week this morning. Southampton currently sitting in ninth position. King Power Stadium, interesting fixture lies ahead. The last time these two teams played was in April of this year. Leicester City enjoying a 1-0 win thanks to Wes Morgan as they looked to win the Premier League last season, and they did. So, yeah, pretty intense game as my pizza enters my street. What are your thoughts, Jake?
I think it's going to be a draw also, maybe a 1-1. Dusan Tadic is an absolute fucking baller, but I don't think he'll score.
Agreed.
I don't know why I said that. I was watching the West Ham game and Tadic just fucking absolutely tore them to shreds.
So apparently the driver for my pizza just went back to the store and is now at the store.
That's concerning, but at the same time, it's probably a good thing for the podcast, because if you left me alone with the podcast, I think we'd lose more and more viewers.
I might just quickly go turn on the light for outside, Jake, as you can talk about Tottenham versus Man City.
Sure. I think Tottenham will probably lose this. I think City will win 2-1 through an early Raheem Sterling goal, hopefully, for fantasy, as I take him out of my captaincy role in my fantasy team. How good are Everton? I'm just going to get some jokes up for you while Jordan goes and prepares for his pizza, as he is well buzzing for it. I forget what he has ordered, but he was thinking about getting some dessert as well, but I don't think he has.
I came back expecting to listen about Tottenham, Man City, and you just he's rambling on about my pizza.
Yeah.
Did you talk about the game?
Yeah, I said City will win 2-1.
Right, I'll just go into a bit of detail on that. The last time these two teams played, Tottenham won at the Etihad Stadium 2-1 back in February of this year. The last time they played at this ground, Tottenham won 4-1 in 2015 in September. So they did a double over Man City last season. Man City did beat them earlier last year, though. So, interesting game.
Yep.
As we move on to the next game. I think it's going to be a draw, personally. Jake, can you talk about Burnley Arsenal?
Sure. What would you like to say about it? You're gone. Arsenal win 3-0. I was about to say Welbeck will score, but I don't even know if Welbeck is fit at the moment. I think Burnley are okay, but I don't see Burnley doing much in this game. And Arsenal are starting to prove me wrong with a few decent games in a row by them. And I think they're definitely back in contention to be a top four team after earlier in the year. I said they will not go anywhere near the top four.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, did I you talk about 3-0
Arsenal.
A bit of in-depth analysis on the game here. Arsenal sitting third currently, Burnley 13th. The last time these two teams played was back in the FA Cup in January 2016. Arsenal only 2-1 at the Emirates, I think it was, yes. The last time these two teams played a Premier League game at this ground, Burnley actually lost 1-0 to Arsenal. So Aaron Ramsey, when he was having that fabulous 2015 season, getting on the score sheet there. I think Arsenal is going to win. They've had very good away form against the newly promoted sides, not only this season, but in previous seasons. And I think they'll continue that, as I have an absolutely beautiful gaze at my pizza, and it looks fantastic. So, yeah, Jake, how did you enjoy the last two games there talking about football?
Well, if I'm honest, I had no idea what I was doing. I think that's the reason as to why you are the main host of this podcast. But I feel like you ordering a pizza has made me even more tempted to order myself a pizza. What are your thoughts? You're eating your pizza right now.
That's how I am, Jake. That's how I am. So, yeah, I think that's all we've got time for today, to be honest.
Probably is, isn't it?
A good episode.
Not much more we could talk about.
Very good episode. It's,
Do you want to end with another joke, Jordan?
Oh, I don't know. Can I top my jokes before? Jake,
anything could top your jokes.
Would you like to say anything, Jake, today, while I look for a joke?
There's not much I can say, Jordan. We've pretty much covered everything possible. I am pretty rapt that my A-League team on victory has secured themselves a spot in this year's semi-finals of the FFA Cup against Melbourne City. Yeah, I'm going away for holiday for 2 weeks as of tomorrow. I'm sure you're going to miss me. Mm-hmm. But that will not affect the podcast, as next week there is an international break and I will be back on my knees, as always, for the next round of Premier League.
Jake's actually perfectly timed his vacation. He actually knew that the international break was coming up. We obviously have the week off with the international break from Premier League and the podcast, unless I get off my ass and decide to do one for lols.
Look, to be fair, you could probably thank my girlfriend's mother for popping my missus out as of Friday.
Popping your missus out. Okay. You can
thank
the your
whole
girlfriend's mother
for
popping
your
missus. Oh my god. It's
your
sister.
You're fucking right.
Anyway.
But there's always an international break for the first week of A-League, so I'm pretty sure there's an international break next week. I'm not 110% sure, but I'm pretty sure there is.
Do me check?
Look, while you're getting your joke up, I'll check.
There is an international break.
Yeah, there is.
So as we conclude the episode, I'd like to end on a joke sponsored by Bet365 and www.jokes4us.com/sportsjokes/soccerjokes.html. The joke is, what tea do footballers drink, Jake?
What tea do footballers drink, Jordan?
Penalty.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
Or, what do you call a Nigerian football fan with an IQ of 10?
Yakubu.
Supremely gifted. I didn't know if that was a good one. I didn't even read the answer before I said the joke.
Do you want me to give you an AFL joke?
Love an AFL joke. Thanks, Jake, on an EPL podcast.
Yes. Well, I was listening to the Rush Hour today on Triple M, Melbourne's home sport, at roughly 4:45, and Billy Brownless was on there with James Brayshaw.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little plug for the Rush Hour, because I'm sure Billy Brownless is probably listening to this podcast. And he made a joke saying there was a Western Bulldogs fan who dipped his foot into grey paint, and the Western Bulldogs fan started yelling, "Foot is grey." In fairness, that's Billy Brown with a stroke, not mine.
Oh my god.
I think we should probably just pack it in right now.
Yeah, I think just taking a run, to be honest. Take what you ask. Great question.
Great question. What are we taking?
I have no
idea. We're rambling.
Again,
who really gives a fuck?
Again,
if there's
again,
people
thanks.
Listening to this podcast still right now, then they're absolute troopers.
We need to promote the 52nd minute of the podcast. I feel like people might actually listen to it.
52 minutes, fucking hell.
Again, Jake, thanks for being on the podcast this week. It's always a pleasure having you side by
side. I wouldn't
side
have it any other
knees.
Way.
I know, I wouldn't have it any other way either, except maybe bent over.
Wowee.
Boy, oh boy, wowee. Best of luck to the Doggies in the final this week. Even though it's got nothing to do with EPL as well, but you know, you had an AFL reference, so I thought I'd have mine. As usual, we will be back.
How about we just stop for 2 seconds? What's your tip for the AFL Marathon?
Oh, I'm going for the Doggies. I think Doggies are going to fucking win.
I think Sydney will win, but I hope the Doggies win.
As usual, we will be back in roughly 2 weeks from now, bringing you episode 8 of JJ's Football Fix. But until then, it's been Jordan. I've been joined by Jake. And have a good fucking week!
I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh? On top of the world.